Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from thedraftnetwork.com, along with Trevor Sikkema, also from thedraftnetwork.com. And we are here on live on Twitch doing our show like we always do. Like we, well, haven't done in a while, but like we were doing pretty consistently before Shrine and Senior Bowl and all the events took us away from the people. But now here we are. And for those of you who can't see and are just listening to the podcast version, Trevor is sitting for this podcast wearing an Eskimo beanie, looking like he crawled straight out of an igloo.
Bro,
my friend, my Florida friend, what is happening?
It is less than 50 degrees right now. I think it's like, is a 46 degrees, and I got my beanie on, I got a sweatshirt on, like, not about this cold, man. Not about it.
Lord have mercy on you. Must be the real struggle here where it's -9 today in the mountains of Pennsylvania. You asked me before the show how I physically walked outside in -9 degrees.
Yes. Yeah.
First of all, let me tell you, it is not fun whatsoever. It is horrific, even if you've lived in it a couple years. It doesn't matter because it doesn't get to be -9 here without crazy intense wind. So
all I could think about the whole time was our pal Owen Reese. Shout out Owen Reese. He lives up in like Wisconsin, and he always does the thing where, like, no matter how cold it is, he does the whole like, hey, you know, without the wind, it wouldn't be so bad, or what, you know. So it's like,
are you true though?
Are you clicking stuff on your computer? You're not allowed to do that.
Right. I'm not. I haven't touched it.
All right.
I promise.
All right.
I usually cause trouble, but not this time. It wasn't me. But nice clothes hanger. So that's Kyle. Thanks, Kyle. You see clothes hangers?
You got clothes hangers? Oh yeah. I don't know. Like the back there. I don't know.
I don't know if they're in the shot or whatever, but there are a couple back there. Nice glitches too. Yeah. Thanks. I think that the weather here, when you walk outside, even if you're, you know, full, you got jeans on, doesn't matter. Like hat, gloves, doesn't matter. Still bites through to your bones, and it's excruciating.
I'm trying to see. A couple of you have already said in the chat like how cold it is there, but like I want to see who's the coldest. Right now, I got somebody in Wisconsin. They're -50. So
there's no way it's gonna be.
Nobody's going to be a friend of mine. A friend of mine who lived in Florida lives in Chicago now. And he sent me a screenshot this morning and it was feels like -51. And I'm like, I'd move.
I mean, I'm trying to. So, -62 in Delaware. Sure, Kyle, you liar. A Bucks fan said -50 wind chill there. Where's this guy live?
I don't know where he is, but.
That's wild. Okay, we got to jump into questions. If you guys have NFL draft questions, fire away at us.
It is a fan-focused podcast.
Yes, right. We've been going through the divisions, kind of breaking down the outlook for each team, the East and the South. We did from the AFC. But we're going to step away from that for a second and jump into some of the fans' desires, desires of their heart.
Somebody said anything below zero is made up. Like it just did. People are lying. Might be true. I don't know.
I'm telling you, I've been in -45 degree temperatures. It is incredible how cold can get colder. I never understood it until I lived where I live now. The first winter I was here was brutal. But
you know, like some the narrative. You know the narrative of football players, like, oh, he doesn't like playing in cold weather. That'd be me. That would be me.
True.
I wouldn't play if I got drafted by Chicago. I'd be like, nah, try again.
You pull the Eli Manning.
I would 100% pull an Eli Manning. Actually, I'd pull an Eli Manning just because I'm a diva. Like, I'd do it anyways.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
I mean, just went 100%. To a team I didn't want to go to.
Yeah, if it was like trying to think of a team you don't like the Giants or something like that.
Oh, I wouldn't play in New York. No way.
Yeah, no chance.
No, I couldn't do that.
Why the Ed Oliver slander by Zierlein, though?
Let's
I knew we were going to get this question.
Let's talk about it.
We love Lance. We don't think Ed Oliver's a linebacker.
both of those things can coexist and do
both
coexist.
Both of those things can be true, yeah. I don't even think it's – I think Dane and some other people got on and were like, you know, we really need to think about this. We really need to talk about it because, you know, this is a real possibility. No, we don't.
The thing he said is that teams are considering this. Like, that's what he said.
Yeah, but
– there's no way that's true, right?
I mean, like, he may have talked to an area scout who's – but these scouts
– I love area scout quotes.
Right, like, I mean, it's just, you know, you're not talking to a GM of a team, and if so, maybe they're just talking, like, you know, they talk about lots of different players, but, like, Ed Oliver's going to play on the defensive line in the NFL. Well, some teams want to see him drop and do different things, like, sure, but at the end of the day, like, you're just covering your bases. We see this with everybody. Like, nobody's going to have him as a linebacker on their board. Like, they want to see guys do as many different things as they possibly can. Maybe they just want to see him move in space to see if he could play special teams. Like, to see if they, you know, the Saints drop Sheldon
Punt
Rankins,
gunner, Ed Oliver, punt
like,
gunner.
Yeah, there's teams that can do that kind of stuff, though. They just want to see how a guy moves. Like, and yeah. It's an excuse to get to see how he moves. You know, we just read too much into it, man. Like, at the end of the day, like, we'll probably hear a couple more linebacker quotes about Ed Oliver. The dude is a defensive tackle. Like, the fact that we're even considering it shows he's a freak athlete for the position. He's going to test unbelievable. Yes, he's a light defensive tackle. Going to have to rectify that. But how many 274-pound linebackers are there, man? Come on. Like,
oh, I'll tell you, actually.
Zero.
So I looked up, thanks to Mock Draftable, I kind of used their percentile charts. And what they do is, if you guys have ever seen... But, oh, by the way, John, we're about to enter spider graph season. You know,
wow, what is that?
Like, we're
draftable season.
Yeah, yeah, like, where every other tweet on the timeline is just a spider graph of somebody, and people will like cut off the name and they'll be like, who is this? And I'm like, I don't freaking know. I don't know who this
just
is.
Tell us.
Right. So I was looking up their percentiles. And if you take Ed Oliver at, I think I just did like 280, because 280 was the discussion of like, oh, that's too light for an interior defensive lineman. So that I think that's what he might have been playing at. He might have been a little bit lower. He might have been closer to 275. I don't know. But if he was 280, I mixed him in with the middle linebackers, and he was like off the charts 99th percentile. Like, there's not even close to a 280-pound middle linebacker in the NFL. His 40 time, which I just took out of high school because he hasn't, obviously, like, there's nothing recently for him, which was 4.85. is in the 12th percentile for all middle linebackers. And so, like, if you take this guy and you try to put him at middle linebacker, you're doing one of a couple things. One, you're either forcing him to lose like you're basically forcing him to lose 20 pounds and play a position that he's never played at before. Or what you're doing is you're playing him in like a 3-4 system where you got two linebackers and you're basically just telling him to rush up the A gap anyways, which, okay, cool. Then make him a D lineman, you know, like, right. It's just, it was the weirdest, I don't know, that was the weirdest stuff. That was the weirdest phase.
Yeah, I don't understand it. He would be like throwback LeVon Kirkland. You remember LeVon Kirkland?
I don't. Who's that?
He was a Steeler. He was number 99. He played in the early 2000s still, but he wore a cowboy collar and he was like a 275-pound middle linebacker.
Hell yeah, brother.
3-4 defense.
Hell yeah, brother.
Back when they had that, you know, the big staples in the middle of 3-4 defense, that was him. Deontay Thompson, can he be a true center fielder in the Seahawks system? Yes, he can be. I've been watching more Thompson. Man, he and Mack Wilson, like, the beginning of the year was lights out.
Mm-hmm.
The middle of the year was okay. The end of the year was just like trash. Oh, man, like, I don't know what kind of player I'm getting, because that's her first year as a full-time starter. So I am troubled, to say the least. It is,
I think
the way
okay,
they started
though.
The season, I would have taken him in the first round. But that's why you have to have the full season. That's why, as much fun as it is when we put out those rankings at the beginning of the season, we always have that asterisk, like, things are going to change, guys. Like, some guys will continue to elevate their stock from there. Some guys will get way worse. Some guys will fall off completely. Like, and I don't think we're at that point with any of them. But, yeah, it just felt like, man, like, at the beginning of the season, they were doing some special things. And then toward the end of the season, man, I mean, it was, Mack Wilson was missing tackles left and right, missing tackles in space, struggling to break down. You know, he didn't look like the same effort level of effort was there. And I thought with Deontay Thompson, he still did some really good things on tape, but I just started to see more situations where, okay, how fast of a starter is this guy out of the blocks? Like, he can run once he gets going a little bit with those long strides, but I don't know that we're talking about a super explosive player either. So I think he can, like, that's an ideal spot for him, in my opinion, but I'm not convinced that he won't be limited at the same time as well.
Yeah, I mean, I would echo a lot of that. I thought he was great at the end of last year, the great at the beginning of this year, and then obviously really struggled down the stretch. But man, it would crush me to have to throw all of that away. And I just feel like I've seen too many rare moments of Deontay Thompson to not draft him. It's still in the top 50, obviously, and then give him a shot to play like a true center field position, because there are not a lot of guys that can even have the tape that he had early on in the year or at the end of last year. And so I've got to think that's probably in there. It's in there still somewhere. It didn't just go away, but I thought when I looked at him at the end of the year, Deontay Thompson, he was just like hesitant. I didn't understand. Like, you remember the college football playoff games, like, even against Oklahoma, there was the one play that he got beef with over the middle where, like, he's just sitting, like, flat-footed, and the guy just, like, blows right by him, and that's just, like, a mental thing. Like, that's not even you processing the guys that are coming into your zone. Like, the threat's deep, and so the talent, I think the athleticism, I think the instincts are still there. I just think that for whatever reason, he kind of took that sophomore starter year step back, or however you want to say it. And so I still think he can be a single high guy. I'm still going to draft him like it. He's just probably not going to be that top 10 player that I thought that he was going into the year.
All right, rapid fire for you. Miles Jack would have been a better running back than a linebacker. Change my mind. This is from the Mashed Potato. If he says it, I believe it.
No, incorrect.
Disagree. I do. I actually disagree as well. But I will say this: Miles Jack still.
But you don't want to mess. But you don't want to mess with Potato.
I don't. Because he's also right. Miles Jack would have been a good running back at least. I don't know if he's better.
Still can. But he would have been. Bro, if the Jaguars move on for Fournette, who else they got?
Listen. I'm about to say he's better than Fournette right now. Play him both ways. If you're the Redskins GM, what do you do at quarterback personally, and what do you think that the front office will do?
Well, Josh Johnson clearly showed an ability to lead, okay, so you've got to give him a chance to earn the franchise quarterback contract that you're obviously going to sign him to this.
Don't be sarcastic. My man skipped Christmas. Did you hear that? Did you read about that?
No.
He skipped Christmas with his family to be at the Redskins facility. Studying tape when they were eliminated from the playoffs.
The only family I want is the ball, all right? That's it.
Basically what he said. He said, my family can see me anytime. We got a game to win. I was like, whew. Some coach just, you know what, when he heard that. DeAndre Baker should be a top 10. Oh, what should the Redskins do at the quarterback position? I guess we should say that. It's a great question.
Draft
it's one
Kyler
that
Murray.
We will ponder. We're going to talk about this when we talk about the NFC East. I think we'll get to the NFC East next week on the show. But, oh, man, you know, to be honest, you can't really sit at 15, or is that where they are, 15, and expect to draft a quarterback. In this class, I wouldn't even want to use that pick on a quarterback unless you're jumping all the way up to get the top guy. I don't even think that highly of the top guy. What I would do is get somebody, and I think Teddy Bridgewater is going to come for cheap. I would try that kind of an option. There are no good options, really, at this point. The Redskins, unlike Jacksonville, who screwed themselves and put themselves in this situation where they're going to have to settle for a quarterback that would have been worse than one that they've had in the past, unlike the Giants, who screwed themselves at the quarterback position by passing on a really good class last year, Washington just got unlucky. Yes, would they have won a Super Bowl with Alex Smith? No, but they just got unlucky. Now they're in a desperate situation. I don't think it's going to be rectified through this draft, so don't try, in my opinion. No, I think that what you do is they'll probably take a quarterback day two, would be my guess. You sign somebody in free agency that can start free in the meantime. I would really go after Nick Foles. I think that's the best option. If you're talking about who can potentially win you the most games, I would think about Nick Foles.
But yeah, that's fair.
I still don't think Foles is great, and I still think you got a hole at the quarterback.
People forget, beginning of 2018, beginning of this season, like, Washington was pretty decent. I mean, I know they weren't winning all the games they were supposed to, but, like, I thought Washington played some teams tough. I thought they were talented. So
we know they would have tanked at the end of the season still.
Well, of course.
We know that was coming.
It's Washington. But to your point, getting a veteran quarterback in there might not be the worst thing, especially if you're looking to win games. I mean, like, how hot is Gruden's seat there in Washington, right?
That's probably pretty toasty, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, he got to win games. So, I think you make a good point. I think Washington will probably be ones to either end up with Nick Foles or Teddy Bridgewater. That's a pretty good point.
By the way, I don't know why, but my wife has invited you to suck it. I think it's over the weather because it's supposed to be negative 30 here by sometime tonight. Have you seen The Office?
Yeah. No, I've seen The Office. Yes.
You remember that scene?
Yes.
So, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. I just invited Jim to suck it.
What?
DeAndre Baker should be a top 10 prospect. He's being super underrated.
No,
I do agree somewhat with the underrated stuff. It's because he's small. It's because he doesn't have great athleticism. And there are whispers out there that this guy may not be the most coachable guy. I think we'll hear more about it as we get closer. But those whispers are out there. No idea if it's true myself. Looking forward to talking to him for sure, but not top 10. Reverse Eli to get sent to San Diego. Wow, great idea. Bucks fan in op says Trey is a diva. Yes.
Oh,
great
God.
Point.
When was this ever up for debate?
Oh, Britt would like to clarify that you're invited to suck it in preparation for the Lightning Penguins game.
Tonight. I see. I was. You said it was the weather, which, and I figured that it was about the Pens Lightning game. Which, right. When people listen to this podcast tomorrow, they're going to know that the Lightning already won. So this is going to be awkward for her.
Wow!
All right. What else?
I'm slightly triggered, but I'm going to move on for the good of the show. Yo, it's the TDN All-Stars. What's up, John and Trev? How you boys doing tonight? Wow, trying to get Cal salty. I love it. I love it. Veteran move. And also, what up? Team, consider a lot of different things. Agreed. Ed Oliver at safety. Also from the mashed potatoes, so I won't argue with it. If Christian Wilkins doesn't play power back, it's a waste of talent. Wow, 100%. Mashed potato with another great take.
Well, I mean, like, hold up. In all honesty here, like, if you're going goal line package in the NFL...
Yes.
You better have Christian Wilkins at fullback.
Oh, yeah.
Or running back. Yeah.
Right. If you're going to play in the Stone Age, at least play in the Stone Age, man. Bring in all the big maulers.
Play in the Stone Age.
When the Bucks GM gets fired next year.
What do you got to do? Hold on. Before we get to this juicy question, because I'm sure it is. What the Colts need to do is on the goal line, they got to take Quentin Nelson off a left guard. He plays left, right? Yeah. Take him off left guard.
Wow. You really don't watch O-line play at all. You don't even care.
No. Put a different O-lineman in left guard. Christian Wilkins at running back. Quentin Nelson at fullback.
Hallelujah. That's football. I don't care what any of you guys grew up thinking football was. That's football. Quentin Nelson and Christian Wilkins in the same backfield. More character and toughness than you've ever had in your body.
RPO with Christian Wilkins.
Oh, I could go play right now. I'm ready. When the Bucks GM gets fired next year, wow, the Heat. What are the chances, but not wrong, what are the chances at Tampa Bay Trey is hired?
Worse
than the chances you get hired as kicker, right?
Yeah, I got to get hired at kicker first. But like, right, I wouldn't mind being kicker / GM, right? Because like, all I got to do is kind of show up to practice, knock a couple through the uprights, and then, you know, I can scout the rest of the talent, and then I can be like, yeah, you're off the team. So, you know, I feel like I would be able to do both. I've done two, you know, I did the two jobs this offseason where I was working with TDN and I was working with Peter Report. I've got to imagine that being a starting NFL kicker and being the general manager of a National Football League team is kind of like the same thing. So I've got faith in my abilities.
It's probably less work than everything we're doing right now, for being honest.
Probably true.
What's the biggest difference between Christian Wilkins and Charles Omenihu? Omenihu seems like he's more versatile with edge potential, whereas Wilkins seems like an interior-only guy. Yes, Wilkins is an interior guy, although he did play defensive end his first 2 years at Clemson. He's definitely an interior-only guy in the NFL. But Charles Omenihu has been brought up, and I'm glad, Trevor, because I wanted to put this to you. I'm mad because I don't think you didn't see the Senior Bowl game, did you?
No.
So, if you would have, I would really be able to throw this in your face, and you would have to take it. But I'm not even going to throw it in your face. I'm not even going to say it in a mean way. But after watching Charles Omenihu, would you not agree from this past week? And if you'd seen the game, you would definitely be agreeing, I feel like. This guy is an edge in the NFL.
All right. So
he can play edge.
Yeah, just because you had a little attitude, I'm going to say no. Just because you had a little attitude on that, I'm not going to give you what you were looking for.
I'm just trying to get you to save yourself as a draft analyst. Well, I'm trying to pull you out.
I never said he couldn't play edge.
You were very skeptical, to put it kindly.
I just like him having a lot of speed and the violent hands and the ability to shoot gaps. I like that on the interior. So that's
he can outreach guards really well.
That's what I'm saying. So like, I am with you, though. To give you your props and what you were looking for, bringing this up, I do have more faith for him to play in different kinds of edge roles in the NFL than what I did going into the Senior Bowl. Because going into the Senior Bowl, I was like, man, I don't trust this guy's ability to bend. I don't really trust him with speed. He still had the traits really well. It was kind of where he was getting off. His get-off was still good. His hands are still good. And those still existed on the edge. But the rest of the edge play, I wasn't so sure about. He was clearly pretty dang comfortable as an edge player at the Senior Bowl. And so
he was better than Montez Sweat at the Senior Bowl. Inconvenient truth.
Wow.
Nobody saw Terrell Edmonds and Rashad Penny going in the first last year. What players do you see that happening with this year? Fun story about guys who go in the first that you usually never see go in the first. Like, nobody ever saw that coming. It's usually because they don't deserve to be there. Think back over history. There are very few times where that's been wrong. Remember Deion Buchanan for the Cardinals?
He had one really good year.
Yeah, he wasn't very good. That was a bad pick. Remember Marcus Smith? I think it might have been the same draft. Remember him? Eagles?
I do remember
that one.
Yep.
A couple wide receivers at the end of round one. I think, was John Baldwin a late round one pick? AJ Jenkins? Couple surprises
you
there.
You said
yeah.
John Baldwin, and I thought you meant Doug Baldwin. I was like, hold up. Doug Baldwin's a stud, so pause.
Right, but and he also was not a first-round pick.
He was not a first-round pick.
Right. And also Terrell Edmonds and Rashad Penny. Remember those guys? Yeah, they shouldn't have been first-round picks
like,
either.
Who are some names?
Lonnie Johnson from Kentucky. He thinks he's going first round.
No way.
He's big, he's athletic, and he had a good Senior Bowl. His tape's bad, but is a bad corner class. I'm just saying, like, we're talking about long shots here. Like, I could see the NFL being way more excited about him than I am.
I mean, I feel like we shouldn't say a quarterback, right? Because, I mean, like, I could easily say Daniel Jones. Like, if Daniel Jones goes in the first round, I think it's a mistake.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're talking about surprises. Like,
right. Like, if Will Greer goes in the first round, it's a mistake.
Yeah.
Dexter Lawrence?
Any
maybe?
Running back in the class, really, other than Jacobs, maybe, who I still, you know, I wouldn't take a running back in the round one, but.
You wouldn't take Josh Jacobs in round one.
I wouldn't take a running back in round one. No, I don't think so. Not the way. I mean, like, you would have to have, like, basically the only big need. I think Jacobs is great. He's awesome. He might be a top 20 player on my board, but I'm not taking him round one, man. Like, I'm just not taking – I can't do it anymore. Like, even last year I was, like, leaning in towards it. I can't. I'm out, man. Like, I just watched Philip Lindsay go undrafted, tear up the league. I've seen 1,000 different running backs run for 5.5 yards a carry, and they're not even good. It doesn't matter, man. Like, it doesn't matter. The position doesn't matter. Like, Jacobs will help a team a lot. It matters as a receiver. It matters as a blocker. Like, I'm happy to get those things. But, man, like, the difference is just going to be, I can't do it. I can't take it. There's going to be a comparable impact guy production-wise in round three or round four. Just, it's going to happen. It happens every single year. I can't do it.
Especially, as much as I like Jacobs,
I can't take a guy with that little bit on tape. Like, he just doesn't have enough. Like, traits-wise, grade-wise on my scale, absolutely. He did terrific. He's going to be probably – I'm telling you, he's going to be probably a top 25 guy on my board. But from a team's perspective, when the actual draft rolls around, like, I can't do it. I can't. He'd have to test, like, bonkers for it to happen, too.
Would Arawarie be one for you?
No. I don't think he's going to go in the first. I don't know that he has a shot to go in the first. He'd have to test way better than I think he will. He just wasn't very good at Mobile. His tape – 1 year starter, real starter. You know, I mean, he played a lot the year before, but I don't know. Could be one. I mean, I guess Justin Lane from Michigan State. We're just talking about corners now. I don't know why, but it's a crazy name to throw out there. What about Chauncey Gardner-Johnson? I don't think that's out of the question.
Ooh,
that would surprise people.
That's a decent one.
No linebackers.
Yeah,
it's usually a defensive player. There's not many offensive players that surprise usually. Unless maybe a tight end, but not this tight end class. We know who's going early. That's it. I can't think of any others right now, but there's a good group. The Steelers have 2 free agent tight ends, Jesse James and Xavier Grimble. Should they re-sign? Who should they target in the draft? I would be fine with them re-signing them both if they're cheap, but also the draft, you're going to get a better player. So I would take one. The problem is the Steelers, if they lose Antonio Brown, will have another need on top of tons of defensive needs, so you really can't afford to draft a tight end, or at least in a range where you're going to get a good one. So that's where the struggle happens for the Steelers in this draft, is you have other needs you have to focus on. So it depends who else they sign in free agency. If all their other needs are hypothetically filled, I like Dax Raymond in the third round. I like Isaac Knowton in the third round, and the fourth round, wherever those guys are still available. Those are the two I would probably target for the Steelers.
You want Cam Brate?
No.
I'm going to bring this up all the time. Anytime anybody talks about getting a tight end, like fringe day two, day three, I'm just going to be like, see,
trade for Brate.
Y'all want Cam Brate?
Wait, does he block?
No, not well.
Okay, all right.
I mean, he's still.
Just check.
He's not great.
Steelers, they're going to need a blocker, I think.
No, blocking is overrated, dude. Like, blocking is so 1990s.
Yeah, I hear you. Cal Krabs wants to know, what does Riley Ridley do better than Deion Kane? Good hell, Kyle.
Wow. He said go to hell.
Who is your comp for Haskins, John?
That's my favorite moment on this Twitch show. Go to hell,
comp
Kyle.
My comp for Haskins,
Jameis
you ready
Winston.
For this?
Jameis Winston.
It's got to be the dumbest comp I've ever heard. Like, I mean, that's just purely you're both black and neither of you are that athletic. That's the only reason that comp gets made.
Yep.
I mean, it's the only reason.
Yep.
As quarterbacks, they could not be humanly more different. Like, they just could not be.
Hey, they both throw the ball, though.
Physically, they both throw it.
Okay, yeah. So,
but I mean, totally different style. Like, Jameis belongs in an aggressive downfield system. Haskins belongs in a West Coast. Like, they're just totally different stylistically. So, actually, for Haskins, are you ready for this? Because I know you didn't read my report yesterday.
Of course not.
Today, my comp for Dwayne Haskins is a less mechanically sound Alex Smith. Did you see that coming? You didn't see that coming, did you? You're trying to process things. You're praying about it.
I'm trying to figure out if there's two Alex Smiths.
No, there was actually. There was a tight end, but no. Now there's just one.
Buccaneer great Alex Smith, the tight end, by the way.
Exactly. I actually just remembered he played for the Bucs. Okay, here, let me walk you through it, okay? You pray about it. Keep asking God what he thinks. But I'm going to tell you why. This is a good comp. Both of these guys need to be in West Coast systems to be effective. They're very accurate, short to intermediate, good ball placement. If you ask them to go down the field, not only are they not great at it and not consistently accurate down the field, they can't really throw into tight windows. Haskins, because of mechanical issues. Alex Smith, because of arm strength. He just doesn't have that kind of a cannon with velocity. So for different reasons there, but they can't really throw into tight windows effectively right now, nor do they want to. They're super comfortable staying in the short to intermediate range. They will see and process routes down the field that they could hit and they could throw to, and they just keep coming back underneath. They pass them up. They don't throw the ball down the field very effectively. When Haskins had to throw the ball down the field because of vertical concepts, he got skittish if the window was tight. He took sacks he shouldn't have. That's Alex Smith to a T, man. That's exactly what he's done his whole career. He's taken sacks he shouldn't have. Other than that, he's comfortable in the pocket. As long as he knows something short to intermediate is going to open up, he's comfortable. As soon as it's a tight window throw, a high degree of difficulty throw, Alex Smith tends to eat it. He's like, I can't make that throw. I can't make that throw. The only difference is Haskins is younger, so, I mean, he could grow out of it, but I don't know. But they're very – realistically, similar quarterbacks. They prefer things to be short to intermediate. They hate to go down the field into tight windows, and both take sacks that they shouldn't because of that. Both will also be at their best in a West Coast offense. Your thoughts, sir?
The West Coast part is fine. I definitely understand that. And I mean, as of right now, Haskins is, I think, to your point, he's a lot of what you said. I don't know if he's... Alex Smith is interesting, but like... The comps for Dwayne Haskins are tough for me to really agree with almost any of them because this is his first year starting, and I saw him improve his game, I felt, in a lot of different areas as the year went on. So, like, I don't even know if we know what Haskins necessarily is yet, just because it's so hard to judge a quarterback after 1 year as a starter. So right now, I guess I can't really disagree with you. The Alex Smith comp's pretty interesting. Even throwing that name out is interesting. But I just...
Someone tweeted at me, by the way, and said they had chosen Alex Smith as a comp for Haskins on their podcast like a week or two earlier. And I was like, what? I didn't think anyone else on the planet would have that comp.
I just don't think that we know necessarily what Dwayne Haskins is yet. So that's my.
You think the upside could be greater than Alex?
I don't even know if it's the upside. It might even just like who he settles into being like with the quarterback with tendencies. I don't even know if we have that yet. So Haskins is kind of a really mixed bag to me, and it makes it interesting because he is so young. He only has 1 year under his belt. He changed a bunch as a quarterback this year, but we know he's in a system where he played with players who were just straight up more athletic than everybody. I mean, he played on an offense with J.K. Dobbins, with Terry McLaurin, with Paris Campbell, and like all those guys are just straight up more athletic than everybody they played. Like the Big Ten, sure. The Ohio State plays like an SEC brand of football in the Big Ten, and it just destroys so many different teams in the Big Ten. So It's really weird to kind of watch Haskins play only 1 year in that system because he improved with it, but I don't know. There's just a bunch of question marks I have with him. So, okay, the Alex Smith comp, I don't hate it. I guess that was, yeah, I don't hate it.
Thank you. Might as well just say it was brilliant. That's fine. I appreciate it.
I would back the hell off of saying that it's brilliant. So,
think there is any truth to the Dalton rumors? I don't even know what the Dalton rumors are. Is he not a natural redhead, or
that he's going to be the head coach?
Maybe they're going to trade him. I don't know.
I don't know what the Dalton. Yeah, you got to tell us what the Dalton rumors are.
I don't know. I haven't heard him. Do you think the Packers should draft a tight end? If so, which one would you pick? We got to go rapid fire here now to close things out. TJ Hawkinson at 12. That's what I would do. Why not?
Oh,
change my mind.
Yeah.
How do I cope with Kellen Moore going to be our new OC? Oh, Mashed Potato is a Dallas Cowboys fan. I'm out. I have no idea how you cope with that. I have no idea if Kellen Moore is going to be good. I'm excited to see how it goes.
Hey, Byron Leftwich did well for like six games, maybe.
Yeah, disagree. favorite potential first round player for the Browns? I'll go Wilkins.
Oh, favorite potential?
Wilkins or Byron Murphy? I love both those.
I would have said Byron Murphy. I mean, a pipe dream, Greedy Williams.
Nah, Byron's better. Pipe Dream's the better player, right?
Yeah, but I like Greedy lining up opposite Denzel.
Yeah, but he's worse. That's the problem. Do you think Antonio Callaway is a good comp for Deebo Samuel? Not at all.
No.
Terrible comp.
No.
Totally different players.
Yeah, not even close.
Football gods, both the old and the new, I pray to thee, please make it so my beloved 49ers get Nick Bosa number 2 overall. I don't think that's a question, but I appreciate your prayers. The Lord has heard you, my son. If he would have declared it's Alex Hornibrook, QB1 or QB2 this year. Is this Owen Reese?
Unbelievable.
It's not. It's Quentin Lash. He would be QB456, one spot ahead of Nick Fitzgerald. What did you think of the et al? Oh, et al removing the inside linebacker. We already covered that.
It's poop. It's poop. That's what it is. Poop. It's poop.
That's what we think of it. If either of you were ever considered for a college NFL job, if you haven't been already, how much would you consider leaving TDN for?
What is it like? What does a college job mean? Like as a scout?
As a coach? There's really none. No, I wouldn't leave TDN for any of it, probably.
100%.
I wouldn't want to coach in the NFL or in college football. Really, too crazy a life. I wouldn't want to scout in the NFL.
Probably
I'm not going to offer
like,
a GM job.
You'd be making like $500,000 a year. Just leave. You can come back to TDN next year when you fail. Just do it. Go get paid for a year. You're going to suck. We're all rooting for you, and you're going to let us down. Just take the $500,000 and come back, dude. Come back, and then you could go on. Imagine going on radio shows and be like, John Leonard is the analyst for the Draft Network, also was the former coach of the Pitt Panthers for one season before getting
out. Did a better job than their last four head coaches, still got fired.
100% put that on
my
resume.
I mean, you basically have me. I mean, no, I just wouldn't do it. I wouldn't. TDN's going to be next level, plus I just am not that interested in coaching or being in a front office in the NFL. Two more. What do you think of New Mexico linebacker Terrell Hanks? Impressive at the Senior Bowl, right?
Cool, yeah. Flying. Like, physical. I have not watched his tape, so I need
everybody
to watch
his tape says he can't tackle. He misses tackles everywhere. Super undisciplined. There was one play I watched when I was watching the All-22 at practice. They ran a play action, right? He's reading his keys. He's inching forward. I'm like, okay, now he sees that it's a pass. He's going to get back and drop into his coverage. Nope. Just kept inching forward. Quarterback surveying the field. Eventually just runs through and, like, tackles the running back. I'm like, dude, he clearly does not have the ball. Like, what are you doing? I mean, I think he's just that kind of player. Like, it's just all, like, he just sees stars when he's out on the field and he's flying around. Is Hawk being overdrafted or is top 10 warranted? Hawkinson will probably be a top 5 player on my board.
There you go, folks. Top 5.
People love the Alex Smith comp. They think I'm brilliant. They think I should be the general manager of all 32 NFL teams.
That'd be chaos. I wouldn't do it.
Oh! John S559 says, watching the stream and got a call saying, I got the job I applied for. Y'all bring good luck.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
I don't know who you are, but that's freaking awesome.
Yo, that's awesome.
That's phenomenal. There are a few better calls when you get a job that you applied for and you really wanted. That's phenomenal.
That is super dope. Congrats. What's his name? John? Is that what you said?
John S559.
John S559. Congrats, my friend. Oh, I hope you
start. John spelled the wrong way with an H, _S559.
Whatever your username is, John, congrats on the job. Hope you kill it, my friend. Well deserved. Keep listening to the podcast. Great things will happen.
It's very exciting. I'm very happy about that. Better tight end. Here we go. Last one to close it out.
Okay.
Isaac Nauta or Dawson Knox?
Dawson Knox.
I agree. Dawson Knox is
Knox, dude.
World of uncertainty. I just finished both the revals. Knox is like 2 points higher, I think, for me on the scale. I mean, Knox caught 15 balls. He was thrown at 22 times.
Did not throw the dude the ball.
What am I supposed to do with that? I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it. This is an offense that told him to run to space. He has no polish at all, no refinement. He grew a little bit as a blocker and not at all as a receiver. He's a complete project, but he has natural hands, natural ball skills, and he's fast. He's big. He's physical. That's it. I mean,
just keep listing buzzwords.
A raw project, large. You know? So that's what I mean.
Fast,
big hands,
physical,
looks the part,
big hands.
Gritty. Gets after it in the weight room. He really does get after it in the weight room.
Okay, I figured.
I don't know. I'll take Nauta. But I like Nauta, too. So I think Nauta's probably a little safer.
I'm going to fix your
little
screen, and the second I do, it's going to change on its own again.
Yep, probably.
All right, there we go.
All right, let's sign off here. Thank you guys so much for listening. Your questions, always phenomenal. You guys are great. We've been loving doing this, and we're going to be doing these Twitches, like, I think every week or so, basically. Got the combine coming up here in a little bit. We'll try to get some Twitches in when we're down there in Indy as well. So appreciate you guys joining us. Go over to iTunes. Leave us reviews and ratings on the podcast this time of year. That really means a lot to us when you guys drop a review, even just one line. Throw a 5-star rating at us if that's what you think of the show. If not, whatever, man. But I think that all of you think 5-star, obviously, because you're all smart. You're all wonderful people. Otherwise, what else would you be doing with your Wednesday night other than being on Twitch with us? So we appreciate you all. Thanks so much. Until next time, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.
All right.
Nice.
Still on the stream, though.
Still on the stream?
Yeah.
Thanks, my people.
Yeah,
video
thanks,
messed
y'all
up again, Potato said. It just messed up probably right now, huh?
Because
I had to click.
You're like this. You're like,
wow. So I'm real.
You're like, well, now we can only see the mic.
I was close through the whole show, to be honest. Like, I feel like the whole time I was.
Yeah, you were right.
I think about 1 stars because Trevor has no man bun. This is all your fault, dude. Unbelievable.
Bro, I've got like a
pod's going to hell because you can't give us great hair. Unbelievable. Selfish.
It's true, actually. Yeah, it's true. All right. Thank you, everybody, for watching the podcast, for hanging out on Twitch. If you haven't,
that's 6 stars from somebody.
If you haven't yet, well, that balances things out, right?
Right.
If you guys haven't yet, hit subscribe or follow, whichever button it is on Twitch. So whenever we go live, whether it's us or Kyle and Joe or Brandon Brad, you guys will get enough notification. You can pop on. You could always get involved in the show because this is why we do Twitch. We do Twitch because it is a lot of fun to interact with you guys while we do our podcast and while we do our kind of offset shows. And so make sure you guys are doing that. Following us on Twitter, following us on YouTube. We're just starting to get that really popping. We're putting a ton of videos up. I'm putting videos up every single day. So that's the same thing. It's I believe if you just search the Draft Network on YouTube, you should find it. So yeah, thanks you guys for watching, getting involved with the show. Podcast will be up tomorrow, and we'll see you guys later.